This is the Daily Refill, a project of Alatea.org. These are the stories you need to start your day.
I'm Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, and today I want to tell you about a great feast that's celebrated on February 2nd. No, I'm not talking about Groundhog's Day. I'm talking about the great feast of the Presentation of the Lord. Each year on February 2nd, the Church commemorates this great feast of light, recalling that 40 days after the birth of the Lord, Mary and Joseph took the child to the temple in Jerusalem. At this moment of presentation and purification, the holy man Simeon recognized the infant Messiah. He took the Christ child in his arms and proclaimed him to be the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. So for that reason, the Church has long blessed candles on this day. Maybe you even have a procession for the candle blessing in your church. The candles blessed on this day remind us of Christ, the true light. They remind us of the faith, the hope, and the love that illumine the Christian heart. The Feast of the Presentation, as far as feasts in the Catholic Church go, is a pretty old one. It was first celebrated in Jerusalem sometime before the year 400, and was first known as the Feast of Meeting, because this great meeting, this great encounter between Simeon, who had long awaited the promises of the Lord to be brought to bear, and the Christ child. In fact, when Simeon sees Christ, he sings a great hymn of praise, and it's one of the canticles in Luke's gospel that the Church sings every day, that religious men and women sing every day as part of the Liturgy of the Hours. The hymn that Simeon sings, we sing at night at our night prayer, also known as Compline. Simeon's great hymn of praise goes like this. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. A light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people, Israel. In 1997, Pope St. John Paul II declared that the Feast of the Presentation would be celebrated as the World Day of Consecrated Life. Every year, the Church prays for vocations to religious life, for religious priests, for brothers, for sisters and nuns, and celebrates the contributions that men and women religious have made in the life of the Church. Pope Francis has taught, how good it is for us to hold the Lord in our arms like Simeon, not only in our heads and in our hearts, but in our hands in all that we do, in prayer, at work, on the table, on the telephone, at school, with the poor, everywhere. May the celebration of this feast fill our hearts and homes with the light of Christ.
Coming up, we have news and an inspirational story. But if you'd like to read more about today's feast, reflect on the daily Mass readings, and learn new ways to pray, visit alatea.org, where you can also sign up for our newsletter. That's alatea.org.
The Gospels remain scarce about details about the early life of Jesus, but to the best of our knowledge, we can presume he had a standard upbringing, that he lived in probably modest means in first century Nazareth. Historians and archaeologists can provide us with much insight as to what the small, flat-roofed stone homes would have been like during the time of Jesus. In fact, after many excavations, some archaeologists believe they've located the house where Jesus grew up. While precious possessions would have been few and far between, there's likely some staples that even the poorest of families would have possessed at that time, and a few of these might even have a place in your home. While we enjoy the luxury of generous storage, back in the time of Jesus, clothes and provisions were kept in wooden chests, which would have also served as tables. Today, antique chests are often found in attics of homes and hold old photos and various knickknacks. Fire pits are back in our backyards. However, over 2,000 years ago, the fire pits in the back of homes would have been used to cook all family meals. Further, among poorer citizens in the time of Christ, woven mats were used to sleep on, with cloaks used as coverings. Today, hand-woven rugs are seen as stylish and a nice addition to a modern interior. And in a world where plastic was non-existent, the Holy Family would have used terracotta pitchers to carry liquids. With plastic becoming a no-go for environmental and health concerns, many families are returning to more traditional ways of storing goods.
Stick around because we have an inspirational story to share. You can discover today's top Catholic news stories and rich, insightful commentary composed by leading Catholic journalists at alatea.org. Or download the Alatea app to your smartphone or tablet. available on Apple and Android devices.
Monsignor Turow has just reached the milestone birthday of a century. He's 100 years old, and most of his very long life has been devoted to serving God. Monsignor Turow's very full life has, well, how do we put it, a few very interesting things about it. One of the things he's known for, one of the things he's famous for, are his very brief homilies of just four, maybe six sentences. The reason offered is equally brief. The centenarian priest has shared, "I fought against making the pulpit a classroom. I wanted it to be more of a conversation, even if one-sided." It's interesting to see that despite a wealth of knowledge in many languages accumulated over the years, including a doctorate in Germanics from New York University, Monsignor Turow has always opted to use his words sparingly. However, the brevity of his famous homilies have made an impact on all those who have listened. Monsignor Turow's former students have shared that he was one of the best seminary lecturers they ever had. He used an economy of words. Monsignor Turow never repeated himself. Thanks to his long and active priesthood, Monsignor Turow was able to inspire many seminarians. He taught them New Testament courses at the Immaculate Conception Seminary at Seton Hall University for over 60 years. This work was still only a fraction of what Monsignor Turow has achieved in his busy life. He was a director of the seminary's library, which is now not only named after him, but contains four books he authored. Monsignor Turow has served on a few boards, including the Presbyteral Council, the Priest Personnel Board, the Advocate Editorial Board. Given his many years of life, his experience in the priesthood, and his impressive education, Turow had some interesting reflections on how the Catholic Church has changed over the years. He says, "I did not resent the Second Vatican Council. I did not foresee the end result. There was a loss of reverence which was palpable in the Catholic Church before this happened." Now, as Turow celebrates his 100th birthday, he's living at Our Lady of Mercy Rectory in Park Ridge, along with three other priests. It's a parish he knows well, since he spent over 50 years helping out there on weekends. Another of Monsignor Turow's former students says, "He may have some physical limitations now, but his mind is traveling around the world as a scholar, a thinker, and an adventure seeker. I feel proud of my former professor of scripture."
Visit Alatea for inspiring Catholic news, spirituality, and lifestyle content. Keep up to date with the latest stories by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To receive Alatea straight to your inbox each day, sign up for our daily newsletter by visiting Alatea, Aletea.org.
This show is a production of the Spoke Street Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.